Hello, everyone, and this is your always tactful host, Pendy.
And this is Paul, also known as EastX Twitch.
Aye, 'tis but a fair summer day on this beach, is it not, matey? Pizarros abound as far as the eye can see.
Summer? It's the beginning of winter. Also, what beach? That's the tactfully dyed pool that we acquired so many episodes ago. And what are these Pizarros you speak of?
Can't you see, laddie? Dragon Quest Monsters, the Dark Prince, Dragon Quest Island, and Dragon Quest Tact. Arr, our cups be overflowing with the scallop. Way.
Word crimes aside, that's a good point. Why the pirate accent, though?
Because I be captain of the Platypunks now, and ye be me first mate. I shall call ye First Mate Fairlox, the Caped Buccaneer.
No, I don't think so. Hey, what's that?
What ye be babbling on about, ye scurvy dog? I don't see any.
That!
Arr, son of a biscuit eater!
Haha, while Pendy dries off...
You scurvy mutineer! I'll get ye for this!
I'll go ahead and welcome our audience to Tactfully Die, a Slime Time podcast spinoff that covers just about everything in the world of Dragon Quest The Adventure of Die and the Dragon Quest Tact mobile game.
That's right. We'll talk about the latest and greatest with Dragon Quest Tact first.
Good. It's the perfect season to sunbathe and talk Tact.
Now, before we get into our summertime fun, I'd like to say I really enjoyed the alternate Dragon Quest V storyline that we just finished up. It was fun and maybe a little emotional to see Pancras and Mata stick around to help save the day and see what became of their family. Now, I would never want to change the story for Dragon Quest V itself, but a fun little what-if side story like this is cool to see sometimes.
I like that too, even if Pancras took way too long to reveal himself to everybody, and the developers oddly chose to make his nameless son, also known as Luca, a mute. I know the hero characters are mute in the mainline Dragon Quest games, but haven't they allowed some of them to talk in previous Tact events?
Nope. Always the silent protagonist type, even here. In Tact specifically, all of them have used the dot 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 for all their reactions.
Oh, then I stand corrected. Well, the close of the Dragon Quest V event also brought about Bishop Lodja as the last banner unit. I got two copies of him naturally, which was pretty rad, and then used shards to get him to two hearts. I need to reach three hearts from gem pools before his banner goes away.
Well, you know, besides Dragonoid Baron, Lodja is by far the best 50 weight the game has to offer when it comes to its arena potential. I went all in and I got him up to 5 hearts. I finally got to use my undead shards that I've been building up for, I don't know, a year, year and a half, 2 years even.
Way to go. I actually had used shards before on Bones of Baramos just to get him up to 1 heart, but I was still able to, thanks to the farming of shards we can do for the current event, I was still able to get just enough shards to get him that extra heart, which was nice. To accomplish.
Nice. On to a more recent event. Since we are perpetually behind Japan by 3 to 4 months in Tact, we are now into the summertime event called Hijinks on the High Seas, Swimwear, Waves, and Pirates.
Now, I know you were pretty disappointed because Mandini doesn't wear a bikini in this event, but it's still a fun event. We're in part one right now that features banner unit Hellfire Prince Pizarro. I managed to get him from a ticket pool, which is amazing. I was just complaining about my bad ticket pool luck in our last episode. So, incredibly, the bad luck streak came to an end, and then I used shards to get him a heart.
Nice, because you weren't getting anything for quite a while, huh, with those tickets.
Yeah, and it was so frustrating.
I'm glad you're finally getting some luck with those.
Thank you.
Well, the Aces Guilds had a nice live pull party that about 5 or 6 people showed up to. I was able to get Pizarro on my 10th pull on the guaranteed S stamp. I later had enough shards to get 1 heart on him, and I love our free unit too, Captain Platypunk. I'm guessing he's from Slime Mori Mori 3, previously called Rocket Slime in the West, since that game is ship-themed and the Platypunks tend to show up as antagonists in that series. In the game we got in the West, they were mobster-themed.
Lobster-themed, you say?
Lobster?
What would a lobster be doing in the mob?
Crabster? Mobster themed.
Napster. Oh, how I miss it. Anyway, I should really play the fan translation of Rocket Slime 3 sometime. I actually love the one that we got on DS. Anyway, as we joked about before, we really do have a lot of Pizarro going on in the game now. 3 different Pizarros.
We really do, which is absolutely amazing. amazing since he is my favorite character in all of Dragon Quest. I love his summer design, especially with the flowing water animation in his sword, and the story events so far have been fun as well. When we get to part two later on, we'll get a summer version of Rose. Can't wait. In addition to Tact, this past Friday, I was able to pick up the new Dragon Quest Monsters game that featured a young Pizarro, and I happened to pick up a new Pizarro the Manslayer figure in the mail as well. On top of that, when I went to Japan a few months ago, I got to go to Dragon Quest Island, where they had recently changed the theme to a Dragon Quest IV Pizarro-themed adventure.
Well, everything's coming up Pizarro for you. I'd buy Dragon Quest Monsters, but I'm going to hold out for a while in hopes of a Steam version. Did you happen to see the Tact roadmap for December?
I sure did. I believe there's a slime event coming later this month, but are you ready for rank 9?
I farmed a decent amount of rank up materials during the recently ended campaign, but I also farmed ability tomes, so I'm not sure how far my rank up materials are going to go. I hope I can rank up all my important units. What about you, Shiny?
I've been getting as ready as I can. I took advantage of the triple rewards rank up stages and double rewards for the illustrious crystals in the story stage you can farm them from. At the very least, I should be able to take care of my heavy hitters right away that I use for the real-time arena and guild versus guild arena.
Speaking of arena, we have a few tournaments to talk about.
That's right. We have the official guild versus guild tournament, the in-house aces tournament, and the first ever unofficial tournament that was open to anyone that plays the game.
We might as well get the worst one over with first. In the guild versus guild tournament, the matchmaking was supposed to be different this time, improved, making a larger variety of mashups. However,
that may have been the case in the first two qualifying rounds, but when everything was reset for the final two rounds of the qualifiers, we got AW and Starfall one after the other.
Yeah, that was a 1-2 punch of the top two guilds in the game. We had some good fights in the AW matchup, but we couldn't overcome some key losses.
It was just horrible timing too. That was during Thanksgiving week, and I had the whole week off visiting friends and family. Not much time to get help, though I did get a 160 for my AW match by myself.
Not bad. Then next up was Starfall, and we got crushed.
Shellacking even. I had said I was going to get coaching help that night, but that didn't work out. So when I did have some free time at around noon the next day, I went to check up to see if someone was going to be around for help. However, at that point, I saw that we had 7 or 8 losses, and it was already all over at that point. So I just picked a difficult team and went for it. I was hoping I could just learn from the experience.
And what did you learn?
I learned I was not good enough to win against that team, and I hate taking on Estark.
Aw, those two losses put us in the gold league, where we were able to get first place pretty easily, even with it being during Thanksgiving weekend.
It should also be worth noting that AW went on to face Starfall in the finals and won. I could be wrong, but that was possibly the first time they had ever done that. Congrats to them on the win. And you're welcome for the two players that jumped shipped from us to join you. Thank you in advance for the gem reward I'm sure you'll be sending us in the near future.
Well said. I'd be happy for AW if not for them having screwed over our guild a couple of times. However, I am happy that Starfall got to learn some humility. Good for them. And yeah, clearly we have some strengths and weaknesses in our guild. You know, the weaknesses are easy to see, but the problem is it's just so hard to find highly skilled players because they're all taken, right? Like everybody who's better than us is in friggin' AW now or whatever, you know? And it's like our guild philosophy is to be friendly and lighthearted. So we don't want to poach people, you know, like we felt the sting of poachery and we don't like it.
No.
So that's a shame. On to a more lighthearted tournament. Our Aces won inter-guild tournament, to be specific. It was a very simple premise. One of our guild captains, Mesmeron, picked out 5 team captains. Then we held a live draft to fill out all of our teams.
Then we all competed for the most points during the week of an individual tournament. The team with the most points won. The final results in order were the teams The Short Bus, Ace Kickers, Pizarro Manslayers, Mindini Mafia, and Cubans Flancitos.
Are you sure that's the right order? Because I thought my group was like a little higher up than that, but apparently not.
No, you were last. I went and looked it up.
That hurts, man. Sorry. Well, you were one of the team captains I saw, and what was your team? Because as I just hinted at, I was in Cubans Flancitos.
Yes, you're the unfortunate team that did place in last. I was captain of the Pizarro Manslayers, of course. We came in 3rd place. It was a fun, no-hassle tournament, and despite the Short Bus running a flat or two, they came out on top. Congrats to them.
Yeah, it was a novel idea. My team didn't get any coaching, so of course we were at a disadvantage compared to the Short Bus, which did coach, I believe. I was too busy with work to do extra coaching that week because I have like really busy weeks and seasons at work, you know? And then we had Cuban, who is, you know, he's like, he doesn't have as much. He seems to be pretty busy himself. We got Gio, who is in another country and only comes in at certain times, so it's very difficult to coordinate real-time stuff with him. Yeah, anyway, it was fun whether or not we did well. Next, there's a new Discord that was created to run unofficial Dragon Quest TAC tournaments.
I believe it was someone from AW that founded it.
What?
They were reportedly inspired by the multiple Aces tournaments that Mesmeron has done over time.
Good on Mez for inspiring more competition among us all.
I was hoping to compete, but this past weekend just got too busy. Between playing the new Dragon Quest Monsters game and preparing for 3 podcast recordings this week, I had to drop out. There were members from Aces, my old Dragon's Den guild, and people from all over the place.
You and your podcasts. Hasn't anybody ever told you that podcasts are silly? Anyway, the tournament organizer was hoping for 20 people, but ended up with 12. I'm sure the competitors still had fun, though. They probably listened to a podcast after their matches.
It was an interesting setup. There was a weight limit, and you could use any monster from the general pool except Marquis de Lyon. They had a vote on which monster to not include, and he lost.
Sacre bleu, the poor Marquis. Well, congrats to all who were involved. Now then, before we get into the die portion of the show, it's time for the tact tip of the day.
Arr, tip of the day.
Did you know that the Reminiscence Battle Roads can get your characters free experience?
That's right, tacticians. Don't waste your experience scrolls if you don't have to.
With all the monsters you can build up, your family bonuses will really take off.
That's amazing. That was our tact tip of the day.
Arr, tip of the day.
Now let's get into some die.
Every week, we're going to review 2 episodes from the newest Dragon Quest The Adventure of Die anime.
We'll also get into other related news we find in the world of Die as well.
So let's talk about episode 51, the Oven Style Ultimate Technique. In this episode, Hyunkle, Pop, and Crocodine find the badly injured Chu and his Beast King Commandos in the Field of Death. Hyunkle convinces Pop to take Chu and the others back to base while he and Crocodine stay in the enemy territory. Hyunkle calls out Baron from the shadows, having noticed his presence. Baron intends to take on Dark King Vern alone, which Hyunkle realizes is a sacrifice to keep Dai safe. But Hyunkle refuses to let this happen and challenges Baron to a duel with his new hollow stance that he recently learned from the Book of Avant. Little do the duelists know that Albinas and him, 2 of Hadlar's chess piece warriors, have been observing them. As Baron and Hyunkle charge each other, Albinas mounts a surprise attack. Hyunkle techs it and counters with a bloody scryde, but gets hit by Albinas and Baron. Baron whisks away Hyunkle and Crocodine, but declares that Hyunkle will probably never be able to fight again.
With the 51st episode, we got a brand new opening and ending for the show. We've had other endings before, but this is the first new opening, and if I remember right, should stick around all the way to the close of the series. As for the episode, I thought it was pretty good. It was one of those classic samurai standoff setups, and I think it was done well here, especially with the twist of the surprise attack and how it played out. And Baron just showing up nonchalantly and saying like, yeah, I'll help out at the end was great too. Poor Pop nearly had a heart attack.
Indeed. I can't decide if I like the new song more than the old one, but it's certainly a good song. It has this inspirational vibe that I really like. The new animation is good too. Mm. There's so many cool moments in the intro, culminating in a glimpse of Baron and Sawala together at the end, and then Gomi-chan mysteriously fading away. The discussion between Hadlar, Albinas, and him is interesting stuff at the very beginning of the episode. You get to see how much the chess pieces care for their master, and him actually weeps. I look forward to more development from the pawn dude. The standoff between Baron and Hyunkle is pretty obviously unnecessary. Hyunkle even spells out what he's going to do, which nobody would ever do in real life. The melodrama is something you have to roll with in stories like this, though. And the results of the fight certainly leads to an interesting place, which you just mentioned. Poor Crocodine is so sad about Hyunkle's injury, too. Crocodine has a heart of gold, despite having been a bad guy for quite a while before this.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you with Hyunkle spelling out a little bit too much of what he's doing. I mean, they do that a lot in anime, but in this case, it was very specific. Like, I'm going to tell you every single step and how I learned it.
That way you could counter me if you wanted to.
Good luck. Yeah, that was kind of ridiculous, but it was still fun. Next is episode 52, Father and Son Dragons Set Out. In this episode, Leona briefs everyone on the invasion battle plans. Dai reluctantly agrees to work with his father, Baron, to open the underwater gate to Dark King Vern's. Hey, Vern! Palace. Pop, Crocodile, and Mam are set to take on Hadlar's Royal Guard on the surface as a distraction. Before taking off, Dai surprises Baron when he asks his father to describe what his mother was like. Meanwhile, everyone else is to stay behind as backup. The Royal Guard shows up, but a key player is missing. Fenbren, the bishop, has defied orders and has gone underwater to get his revenge against Baron. Meanwhile, Hyunkle decides to join the battle, if only only as a shield despite his deep wounds. Lady Amy tries to persuade him to stay and even confesses her love for him. Hyunkle passionately states his reasons for fighting to alleviate his guilt and leaves Amy behind. Back underwater, Fenbren is able to use a powerful whoosh spell to disarm Baran and goes in after him with his most powerful attack. What's going to be the result? We'll see next episode.
Baran offering to team up with the heroes where things were obviously going to go after the last episode's ending, but it's still fun to see everyone react to him, just like you mentioned. Mm. You get to see some good character moments between Baran and Dai, too. Dai is not happy about his dad being around, and at least they managed to bond a tiny bit before heading out to the assault, and that's quite enjoyable. The culmination of Amy the Sage's love and worry for Hyunkle is dramatic and intense, though Hyunkle is way too focused on the mission and his friends to reciprocate Amy's feelings. I hope they revisit the subject in the future. Oh yeah, and I'm glad that Fenbren the Bishop has stayed blind. He's in a clear disadvantage against Dai and Baran, but that would have been true even if he'd retained his eyesight. And by the way, he kind of reminds me of Flazard, where he's just quite a jerk, you know, but it is kind of fun to see him being a jerk like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. And man, this episode was super emotional. We've got Baran describing Dai's mother, Lady Amy confessing her love for Hyunkle, and Hyunkle confessing his guilt for all he's done in the past. A very powerful episode. It also has my favorite lighthearted moment in all of the series too. Ma'am clobbering Pop with the little Dragon Quest style menu in the corner was hilarious, especially since you get to see his HP go down by exactly 30 points. It was so fun to watch that. I love the Dragon Quest reference there. Overall, it was nice to see the feelings of a lot of these characters, and for some, like Hyunkle, their passion behind why they fight against all odds.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't be surprised if this ended up being a fan favorite episode or just regarded as one of the best episodes, because it just gives you those great moments.
Yeah, it's got the great emotional moments. It's got the great comedy. It's got a lot going on in that episode. So it was fun.
Yes.
Now, I hate to end on a sad note, but before we go today, I was looking at the Japanese sales for Infinity's Trash, the Dai console and PC game, and wow, not a lot.
What did the total sales end up being?
According to the physical sales estimate numbers from Famitsu, 32K for the Switch, 9K for the PS5, and 5K for the PS4. That's 46K total. Ooh. I know it's a game adaptation of an anime and manga, and those don't always sell a ton of copies unless it's Dragon Ball something, but I'm sure their target goal must have been higher than that. For reference, Treasure sold around 280K in Japan, which is on the low end of typical sales for a Dragon Quest spin-off game. And the Dragon Quest Monsters Dark Prince game just debuted in Japan with 346K sales in its first week.
Before I react, let me just say that Treasures is excellent, so those sales should be higher. But yeah, you just never know with Japanese gamers sometimes, do you?
No, you don't.
But anyway, as far as Infinity's Trash goes, that's dire. The game's development troubles and mixed reception certainly didn't help it build any momentum. There's a game in there that you definitely can love, but clearly, according to Steam reviews and other types of reviews like that, a lot of people are just going to see the weird structure of the game and sort of the, you know, low production values in certain ways and just be turned off right away. So quite a shame. I mean, I'm glad we got a Dai game at all, and I like the game, but I wish they'd adapted the entire story instead of just the first half of the story.
Yeah, I know, because I don't think we're going to get the second half now. So it would have been nice if they had done the whole story, if they were able to do that. But oh well. And, you know, unless I'm way off on how much they were trying to sell, I would not expect a sequel anytime soon. Or ever.
Bummer. That seems to be it for an Infinity Trash video game sequel. And that's all the time for this episode of Slime Time Tactfully Die. If you want to prepare for the next episode, be sure to watch episodes 53 and 54 of The Adventure of Die, subtitled on Crunchyroll or dubbed on Hulu.
We're a non-profit podcast. We won't plunder your hard-earned gold when we can offer you quality content for free. But if you do have some extra gold that's just completely burning a hole in your wallet, pouch, bottomless bag, treasure chest, or searchable wall sack, and you would like to donate anything to a website that's been supporting Dragon Quest fans for over 25 years, stop by the Dragon's Den by clicking the link in the show notes. There are several ways to support the Den, including the affiliate links that don't cost you anything extra when making other Dragon Quest purchases, such as the new Dragon Quest Monsters game, Dark Prince.
We even have a Slime Time t-shirt that was designed by our resident artist, Dwayne. See the link for it in the show notes.
As part of the Slime Time Extended Universe, or STEW, you can direct comments or questions for the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at DQ Slime Time.
And you can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/eastextwitch. Come watch me play a variety of games every Saturday, kids.
Join in tons of Dragon Quest discussion at the Dragon's Den forums or Discord and the Dragon Questers Infinity Trash and Dragon Quest Tact global Facebook groups.
We'd like to thank everyone that made this podcast possible, including Pendy, What Is, the Dragon's Den, and Sega. Oh my god, they announced 5 hot sequels tonight.
Did they? What did they announce?
Yeah, look at the script. Jet Set Radio. Oh. Shinobi.
Oh my god.
Golden Axe. Streets of Rage. Crazy Taxi. And there's even going to be more.
Wow.
Yes. Sega. Exactly. I want every single one of those.
Please like, subscribe, and write a review for the podcast.
We'll catch you later, everybody. Don't hate. Appreciate.
Time to zoom on out of here.
Reminding you all that you must complete your adventure.